Fan. How many are fan of anything? Being a fan can actually become who you are, can it? It's like, I grew up in Colorado, listening to the Broncos on AM radio, KOA, Denver Broncos football network or whatever they call it. Anyway, and I would lay by the heater. We had a heater vent, and I would lay by the heater and listen to the Broncos, or with my dad driving in the car. And you know what happened to me? I cannot help it. I'm a Broncos fan. It's just what I am. I can't help it. But something happened when Hunter got older. I had never done this before. He started saying, when he would refer to what the Broncos are doing, like their new, like they got Tim Tebow a few years ago. And I remember I was sitting in the front room of our house, and I never watched the draft, but Hunter was up there. How old were you, man? That was like 2010, I think. So you were like 14. Man, he comes running down the stairs and says, "We got Tim Tebow, we got..." Did you hear how he referred to the Broncos? We. So there's this perception in fanhood of connection. But I've never actually been a Bronco. Because you know what it takes to be a Bronco? Man, it takes some discipline, doesn't it? From the time you're a kid, you're going to have to work hard to get to that level. And you're going to have, you know what I mean? So we went to a game. I haven't got to go to very many games. I went to one when I was a little kid. And then we, just a couple years ago, we went to a, who was it? Atlanta game, right? And in Denver. And Lindsay's sister got us some seats on the fourth row, right close to the end zone. It was such a wonderful time. But you know what? We were in a stadium of a whole bunch of Broncos. Nah, they were Broncos fans. Is that right? Now, the Broncos can't do it without the fans, but it's a whole different thing when you become a Bronco than just be a fan. Is that right? So I want to look at this today because there's a difference in everything that we do. Is we do this a lot of times. And we can idolize, you know, actors or musicians. You know, I had a musician that I liked when I was a kid. Anybody know Dan Fogelberg? So my brother actually had us sing a Dan Fogelberg song for his wife's memorial this last week. And it's like, what Dan Fogelberg did for me when I was a kid is inspire me to not just be a fan, but to be a musician. And I went from just being a fan to emulating. And it's a completely different thing. Because some people, all they are is a fan of music. Oh man, I can play anything on the radio, right? Is that right? But it's another level. So I want to look at some of this because I think really that's what we've talked about it already a little bit, but let's just dig into it a little bit because I want to challenge us. Where are we in this thing that we've gotten into with God? Are we, because anybody can praise. Anybody can sing the songs. But it's a whole different thing to become what we're singing. Amen? A fan watches from a distance, admires, cheers, talks about it. Man, this is the funny thing about a sports event is you spend how much time you spend for an event, especially football. There's maybe like 15 minutes total of playing through the whole game. But you know, we drove 3 hours, spent the night, had to wait in line to get in, and then you go watch 15 minutes of actual action in between spilling drinks and, you know, everything else, And then you get done and you go listen to people talk about it. You know, for hours. It's wonderful because it's not just the 15 minutes, it's everything else that's associated. That's just kind of silly. But that's what's involved with being a fan, right? You know the stats, you know the stories, you know the highlights. You feel connected, but you're not really transformed into what you think you're being connected to. Is that right? A fan of a chef never learns to cook. A fan of an athlete never trains. A fan of a performer never practices. Is that right? But a follower steps in close, practices, imitates, struggles, internalizes what they've seen, is gradually changed into it. Is that right? They don't just admire the chef, they cook. They don't just watch the athlete, they train. They don't just go to the concert, they perform. Amen? All right, so I was thinking about this Palm Sunday because there was a celebration going on about Jesus. And it's really interesting because it's how many things Jesus found about himself, and this is a good example for us. What was so cool about Jesus is he found out who he was in the Word, and then he walked it out. Amen? Right. Everything that he found out in the Word, he fulfilled while he was on the earth. And I'm thinking, you know, when he came to this one, he said, really? I have to ride a donkey? You know? and have a whole bunch of celebration going on that I know they don't really know what it's about? Right? But this is it. Let me just read it in John 12. So it was a week prior to the week. Man, we're going to celebrate this on Sunday too. We're going to go through this. But the next day, the Jews that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the massive crowd gathered for the feast. So they took palm branches and went down to meet him. Everyone was shouting, "Lord, be our Savior. Blessed is the one who comes to us, sent from Jehovah God, the King of Israel." Then Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it to fulfill what was prophesied. "People of Zion, have no fear. Look at your king coming to you riding on a young donkey." So I thought, this is interesting. This was actually prophesied for Jesus to do. And that's really why he did it. He didn't do it for the accolades. He didn't need the praise. He did it to fulfill something. I'm wanting to look and say, so why? Why would it be for Jesus to actually have to go through a celebration that really wasn't for what he came to do? Now, Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place, but after he was raised and exalted into glory, they understood how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the scriptures that were written about him. Now, they didn't know that right away, did they? Remember, it took a while for them to gain some understanding on that. In fact, Paul really gave the greatest revelation of it later on. But there was something taking place in the celebration of this. And this is why it's kind of cool. You know what? Any praise of God is valid. Anytime you can strike up a band and get people praising God, they don't even have to know what they're talking about. How many know that there's some really weird events going on around our country right now where people are celebrating things and half of them don't know what they're doing, you know? But they're still in an event with some kind of purpose. And it's interesting how, and I'm going to go back because there's a couple different events that are similar to this that I want to look at. Because it's a contrast. To me, it's like a last demonstration of what could not take place until Jesus gave his life. That there was a celebration of what they thought he was. What did they think about Jesus? What were they actually celebrating? They thought he was going to be the Messiah, right? They thought he was going to be, and here's the thing, they thought because of his works, that validated him to become a political leader. Is that right? So they had their image of what they wanted him to be that was going to be what they needed. Is that right? So all of their celebrations was about what he was going to do for them. Ironically, he was going to do way more than that, right? But it's amazing how God actually orchestrated that for that to take place, to honor him, even though it wasn't about, but to still honor him. Remember what happened just a little bit before that? That Mary, you know, and I, it wasn't Mary Magdalene. It was actually Mary of Bethany that poured out the oil on his hair or on his feet and cleaned him. The little things that took place that honored him in spite of everything else. Is that right? But I want to look at this contrast because there was a purpose that was going to take place in this. That Jesus was going to become what he really was. Even though they weren't celebrating what he really was, he was being celebrated. This happens so much in us, and I just want us to be aware of this. We can celebrate Jesus. We can even talk to him. But there is a place he wants us to take that is just beyond what we need from him and becoming one with him. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Okay. So there's the purpose of celebration. Fulfill a prophecy of Jesus' arrival by those who had no clue. Isn't that sad? So let's back up 6 chapters. Are you ready? Can you put it in reverse? And this is back to the feeding of the thousands. Okay, John 6:2. And he had some crowds and fans then too, didn't he? Man, can you imagine somebody that heals everybody? Would it not draw a crowd even today? You know, ironically, maybe it wouldn't. Because we're on Medicare. We've already got a plan. I've already got a schedule. If I go to that, it will mess up my schedule, my relationship with my doctor. Okay, I'm sorry. Just kind of stepped into that. Okay. John 6:2. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went. He couldn't get rid of him. Had to sneak away at night, right? Because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. So this was creating a crowd, wasn't it? Again, it's the same kind of crowd on Palm Sunday, though, right? Because they're seeing him. Actually, it's validating their requirements for a Messiah, and that's where it's going to take them eventually. But they're seen as somebody that's going to do something for them. Is that right? How many would like a very close friendship with John Mayer? Not going to happen. Just not going to happen. Right? So many of the people we can idolize, we idolize them for what? You can think, man, it'd be cool to be. It's not going to happen, is it? What you're going to get from them is some nice tunes, some nice feelings, right? What? I get him saved. Okay, that would be cool. Okay, my point is though. What these people were crowding around him to get from him was another demonstration, wasn't it? It wasn't a relationship. They weren't going to get him saved. Okay. Okay. So, because he had this crowd, though, it became an issue, didn't it? I think he saw this coming, but nobody else did, I'm sure. We're out in the middle of nowhere, and we have a crowd that came to see some cool stuff happen. They didn't even bring lunch. That's how clueless they were. Right? But we'll see later on, there's a purpose in all of this because it magnifies the glory of God. Amen? Because there were 5,000 people that needed fed, they got fed by nothing. I mean, there were some fish. God always works with something, right? Right. But relatively, it was God that did this. Yeah. This was, do you know how much this just magnified the fame of Jesus having done this? Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. But here's what they started thinking right away. This is our food supply. How stupid is that? But they were actually thinking that. Some of them. Maybe not all of them, right? Okay. So personal connection through suspected identity. And again, all of a sudden we have a bunch of Broncos. Man, did you see what my Jesus did today? You know what I mean? They think they're connected, but they're just connected to what he does. Is that right? John 6:14. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be what? Their king. That's what they're saying. They're wanting a king. He slipped away into the hills by himself. He did a Frodo again. Don't you like those Frodo parts, you know, where they were gonna push him off the cliff and he, you know, he puts the ring on and no. But I think it was a miraculous thing. I mean, there's a crowd of people and he sneaks away. Isn't that cool? I think that's pretty cool. That's a pretty good demonstration right there. And then he's off on the mountain all by himself, and the disciples say, "Well, I don't know where Jesus went. Let's go across the lake." They can start going across the lake and a storm comes up. And Jesus says, "Oh, fooey, I was on the mountain all by myself getting a little bit of reprieve with my father. And here go the disciples again. Didn't have time to do anything but just take off for a walk on the water." And what is the most famous reference of Jesus' miracles now? It's walking on the water, isn't it? They make fun of people if, you know, what are you going to do, walk on water? Because it's the most famous thing, right? And he did it just kind of out of necessity. I don't know. I think it was a plan too. But, right? Because there's some cool things that come from this. But what happened? Created another. They get to the other side and say, "How? We saw the disciples go out on that ship. We didn't see Jesus go out on that ship." You know what that means? What's he doing? He's creating a whole bunch of adoration about what he can do. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, man, it's so important for us to not miss what he came to do by what he does. It's kind of a weird way of saying that, right? But let's don't slip into fanhood when we can be the followers. Amen? So the crowd was wanting to see more signs and eat more bread. Okay, but what did he start doing at that point? He said, "I'd like to pontificate at this point," he said. He starts saying why he did everything that he did. Is that right? John 6:56. "Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood..." And here's the thing. They didn't want to remain in him. That wasn't why they were following him, to remain in him. They said, "What are you talking about, Willis?" You know what I mean? Said, and how did he get to this? Because they came to him and they said, "Let's do that bread thing again." And what was his reply? It was a teaching moment. He said, "I am the bread. You think you need that? I am the bread." And their brains start going, you know? It's like, what is that? That wasn't on the billboard. That wasn't on the script. Is that right? No. But he's revealing what he's really about. Is that right? You know what's really weird? There wasn't celebration that took place at the revelation of what he really came for. Was there? What was there? That's Exodus. The inverse of Moses took place. Right? Instead of being delivered, they ran away. Let's run away. Why? Because there's something much greater than a miracle that God wants to do. Is that right? Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, well, that's part of it there. It's like, we don't understand that part yet. Remains in me. So there has to be an incentive. Why would I want to? Okay? And I in him. This is what he came for. Amen? Okay. Belief goes beyond the event. So John 6:64. And so, again, I want to contrast belief versus praise. Okay? And I want to encourage us in this too, because where's the power in our... there's songs about this. This is how I win my victories. How? Praising. But what kind of praise actually... Remember what Jesus said? He said they came back and they were claiming to do these works over the enemy, right? We're healing, we're casting out demons, we're doing all this. He says, yes, but you, what you praise is not that. You praise that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is that right? And he's trying to give them an opportunity to discover something so much bigger than that. And they balk at the praise of the most important thing that they could receive. Is that right? But some of you do not believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe. He didn't just say one. This wasn't just Judas. This was some more. Did you know that most of the disciples did not really believe? Why do you think they had a mass exodus at the cross? They didn't really believe, did they? They were in line. You know, they believed to a certain extent, but they were in line with all those other, you know, bread people. Is that right? Then he said, that is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. Huh. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. They believed in the Exodus at that point. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? This is how much Jesus was set on his purpose. He did not require anybody. Wow. Is that right? And the wonderful thing, what did Peter say? Lord, and a way is being made into Peter's heart in the middle of this. This is precious. And what is wonderful in this for us to understand is we've all come to the Lord, haven't we? Amen? We've all believed. And it's interesting when you look at this word believe, it's used with, it said a lot of people believed. Well, we're going to see an example of this. But what you do with your belief becomes very critical to whether you become your belief or it just becomes a praise. Right. Amen? Good. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to not just be a fan, but be a follower, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. What? I thought that's why we came to you, because of what you were going to do for our life. It's not about your life. Amen? He says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to get what I came to give, you're going to actually have to reject your own life. How many want to sign up for that? You know what's really cool is you get revelation of this. This will cause the greatest praise to come up out of you. Amen? Amen? And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own way, as you continually surrender to my ways. What's he saying? I did all this to provide things for you, but you're going to have to be one with me in the removal of the old life if you want to be one with me in the victorious risen life. Yeah. Amen? Yes. Are y'all good?
Yeah.
This is so essential, isn't it? Yeah. Praise God. We're not just going to be fans, are we? Amen? We're taking up our cross. Just before the Passover, so there's another example of this. Are you ready for a little bit more? Can you handle the truth? All right. So just before Passover, so this is just before Palm Sunday. You know, it seems like God has said, we got a deal maker going on in our country right now, but you know what? God is the greatest deal maker. And you're thinking even the orchestration of, because Jesus had to die. You know, it's interesting. We were in Turkey, and our driver was saying, how can you Christians believe, you know, before the Jews, they killed Jesus? And, you know, I thought about it later, and I thought, they had to. We wouldn't have a Redeemer today if they hadn't have killed him. And they didn't really do it. I mean, it was the Romans that did it, you know, right? Why would I hold it against them? They were just fulfilling the plan. Is that right? Anyway. So the orchestration of some of these events, I was saying how there were all those people out there that didn't have a brain enough to bring some food for themselves. And I think there was a Holy Spirit severing of their mind just for a little bit that morning before they took off, because there was going to be an event that was going to be a magnifying of his fame that was necessary to get him to the cross. Okay, we'll see this, okay. Just before Passover, essential resurrection event. So John 12:17, many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb. Okay, so what happened with this? Again, he was a couple days away, right? And they told him about it, and he said, he's just sleeping. Again, orchestration. You know what orchestration is? That's a musical term. But it's when you're actually putting something the way it needs to be so that it'll work. Is that right? Why was Jesus waiting for that long? He had raised people from the dead before, right? But they had just conked out just a little bit before that. Is that right? What was it with Lazarus? He was dead for 4 days. Is that right? 4 days. Is that right? And that's when he wept the first time, right? When he comes up and he sees these people and he weeps for this. But this raising of Lazarus, did you know that it got some praise? It got some accolades. Now, this is really interesting. The accolades weren't for what Jesus came to do yet. Can you see that? They were for what Jesus, this resurrection power. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. This is something, man, it was buzz. Jesus raised somebody that had been dead for 4 days. Is that right? Whoa. Now, what this did is it caused the religious people to say, we can't do anything else but kill him. There's such a buzz for him. He has such a following for something that he didn't come to do. Can you see this? And how God was using just how we are naturally to get us to a place to fulfill Jesus' purpose on the earth. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. What are they talking about? Palm Sunday. That's why they were there. Because of Lazarus. It was such a calling card. He has to be them. Then the Pharisees said to each other, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him. Don't you know that this would Jesus' crucifixion wouldn't have just happened on its own. It took the design, the plan of God himself to get people to the point where they would actually do this. Is that amazing? And it's all around a facade of praise. Can you see this? It was all based upon a fan base that didn't even come for what he was for. Is that amazing? I just think it's interesting. And it's something to look at carefully ourselves. Amen? Unconfessed belief prohibits following. So let's keep going here. John 12:37. But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. Well, what did they not believe in? They didn't believe in what he said. You're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Is that right? Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, because they wouldn't admit it for fear, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue for what? They loved human praise more than the praise of God. Oh man, I saw something that's so critical in here. You can even go from fandom to belief, but until you put actions to that belief, you're still kept in the realm of the fans. Is that right? You can say, yeah, I believe. Did you know that there's demons that believe in Jesus? You know? What separates us? It's what we do. Amen? What are we going to do? We're going to stand up, not be afraid. I'm not afraid of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of salvation. Amen? So not fans, but followers are the ones that enter. Known by unity and not accolades. Matthew 7:20-21. Not everyone who calls on me. It made me think of this. It's not the fans that get to go in. When? For eternity. This is pretty serious stuff. Amen? And I think this message is more for the church than anything else. Because, and I want to take it to heart myself. God, what am I coming to you for? Amen? This is why I loved having communion and just getting in Jesus' face. Amen? I just love you, Jesus. Amen? Yeah. I like all that stuff in your hands, but I like you. I like you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Because he is my reward. That stuff just comes with him. Amen? It's the stuff that can't help but follow you because you're in him. Yeah. Amen? And the tragedy is if you're following after that other stuff out of a religious formality, you miss out on the treasure. Is that right? So, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do. What are those? Those are the ones that become Christ. Amen? It's not just a confession that you become. It's an action. It's an image of yourself. And there needs to be a praise that begins to be a response. I'm saying, God, show me how to do this more and more. Let the praise of my lips. Remember, David did this. He said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Is that right? Did you know that we've been made in Christ? And our praise of him becomes a confession of who we are. Is that right? All those things that we are in Christ become fodder for praise fires. Amen? Fervency in a praise fire. What are we saying? I eat his flesh. I drink his blood. And it becomes a praise. And what it does is it takes us into abiding in him. And that's where we can never be taken from. Amen? Amen. Here's where the exodus needs to take place. An exodus from anything that has to do with love of this world. Amen? a complete rejection of it to the point, the only thing I desire is him. Yes. We love those Psalms. One thing I desire, that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The choir at his temple. Is that right? That's not just a nice song to say, yay, accolades, David, that's a really good song. No, he's guiding us into what's most important. Amen? Our unity with Christ. Oh, and that's why he came. Here's the sad thing. We had examples of this. The masses don't get it. And the precious, and I think part of the precious thing about Palm Sunday is what he was getting ready to do is to enable it by the Holy Spirit for it to be more widely accepted. Amen? Yeah. Because our human nature is just so naturally given to worldly consumption. My what I want to get from God is just about a worldly consumption. Is that right? Amen? But what does the Holy Spirit come to do? And that's why it's so important to get filled with the Holy Spirit, because it displaces worldly consumption, worldly appetites, and causes it to be a gratification that can only be satisfied by him. Amen? So the wonderful thing that Jesus came to do is to widen the road a little bit. But how many know that it's still so much more narrow than the worldly road? Amen? And we need to, our salvation need to be something that is so precious to us that we don't take this kind of a message lightly. Amen? It's actually the way to the greatest provision that we have in Christ. The wealth. When you seek after the wealth, you might get some, but it's going to pass away. But when you seek after the wealthy, the one that provides it, amen, you will have everything that comes with it, with a purpose, not to just be consumed, but to be applied for the kingdom. Amen? Yeah.